Hello, this is Jeff Ajek from the Gotta Go Lean podcast. I have with me again this week Jay Watson from FreeLeanSite.com. Last week we got through the first three steps of his six simple steps toward a lean management mindset. I'm going to let Jay go over the first three steps again and just kind of let you know what we talked about.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me back, Jeff. Yes, last week we talked about these six steps for management involvement in a lean organization. Step number one was start every meeting with a safety tip. Step number two, status your meetings with a red, yellow, green stoplight chart or idea overlay, where you want to work on the red items, the hide items, move red to yellow, and then yellow to green. And you really don't need to discuss the green items in your meetings because they're done and they're on time and on target. Step number three, then, shorten meeting times, because if you don't have to go over every single item in a meeting, we can lean out our meeting time. So 30-minute meetings, you might want to schedule for 23 minutes. 60-minute meetings, you might want to schedule for, say, 41 minutes. And then hold to that, put out an agenda before the meeting, break it at 41 minutes, and then go back to your value-added work as a manager.
And all that comes from having a really good, clearly defined condition. So with that, why don't we go ahead and jump right into the fourth step?
Point number four, or simple step number four, status everything. We started with a communication information center, a command center, and in this production conference room, if you will, the first thing we put up was a Kaizen calendar. We've got a yearly vinyl calendar you can buy at Office Max or Staples. And we posted that up, and then we began to each week put in the times or the days for Kaizen events, two-day events or five-day events. Or some weeks we had several events going on at the same time. Now, for the rest of the managers who see this, they look and go, well, I don't have a Kaizen event scheduled, but they've already blocked days and times for me. So we went ahead and planned out the next 6 months, planning the days and the resources with the lean leader, with the Kaizen team leader, and then began populating that Kaizen calendar so that managers could say, hey, I've got a problem. I've got several problems. I'd like to form Kaizen teams. I'd like to put mine on May 15th and 16th. So they began to now look ahead, plan ahead, and schedule ahead, allowing plenty of time to develop their problem statement, their problem objective, and their primary metric, and form their team and put their charter, in other words, charter the Kaizen event. So we began visual management for managers with the Kaizen calendar, and then we put up other common, unique to the plant production indicators, again in red, yellow, and green.
What I found over time is when populating the Kaizen calendar early in an organization's development, you know, there should be a fairly even flow of people onto the calendar from different organizations, because you want to get people learning about lean and getting some experience on it and understanding what other people are going through. So the idea early on would be to get a lot of exposure across major parts of the organization. Eventually,
exactly.
What you'd like
that,
to get to.
That was another reason that you don't want all the Kaizens in 1 month from one area. So we tried to, as best as we could, in the lean promotion office, come in and say, okay, let's spread the lean learning and the lean development among more and more people, like you say. So let's do, we even had some Kaizens from the HR department, from human resources, putting together some teams and looking at some administrative processes that needed to be improved. We had maintenance, we had finance, we had manufacturing, we had quality. Department, not just quality, but the quality department, looking at improving some of their processes, supplier development, So you want to have a balanced, like you said, a balanced scorecard or a balanced approach to this Kaizen calendar where everybody can see 6 to 12 months out.
Now what you find is as once people get that initial exposure, you'll start to see a switch in the trend of how organizations really need to be doing Kaizen, though, because what happens is you have different groups that have better opportunities. And one of the things that you mentioned there is there's a lot of different groups that support Kaizen activity. So you want to have people able to do things on their own internally, but, you know, in a manufacturing group, you may need maintenance or tooling support or IT support. And those organizations, when you're using an outside resource, they need to be scheduled well. What you find, though, is as you start getting a more mature organization with Lean, it's not fair the way it's applied because you'll start putting the biggest emphasis on the spots where you need it the most. So you may find that an organization inside of the company that's doing well may not be queued up as often for outside assistance as other groups. So if you have a group that really needs support, they may be the ones getting more of the maintenance support or the tooling support or the IT support during their Kaizen weeks. And other company or other organizations may be left more to do it on their own. But the nice thing about a Kaizen calendar is whether you're using other resources or not, you can see when they're available. You can see where can you slide in and support it. You can see what the demand is and start adding to those supporting resource groups. And that's one of the things that many companies will find with the calendar is they see they just don't have enough support to really keep their continuous improvement efforts going at the pace they want. And they'll find that they need to bring in more people outside of the organization or outside of the production groups to be able to support that flow of Kaizen activity.
Yeah, we've experienced that in our 6-week program. We did have to, exactly what you said, Jeff, we had to postpone a Kaizen and slide it to the next week because we found out that we were just trying to go too fast at the beginning and could not have that support that those Kaizens needed from facilities and from finance to properly analyze the problem and the benefits from the problem, from quality, from engineering. And so you that is a fine balance. The good news is there's bad news and good news. The bad news is you may have to more properly plan this year or 6 month to a year outlook. That's exciting that organizations are looking at ongoing continuous improvement. You may not be able to go as fast as you wanted to, like you mentioned. But also, you may then call somebody like yourself, an outside consultant, to come in to help. So that's exciting.
Yeah, the nice thing is that when you do have the need and you, as an organization, you see, you can see visually in your Kaizen calendar out in the distance and see whether you have enough resources to do it, you can adjust that on the fly. The last thing I'll talk about with this one before we move on to your next point is you want to leave some space in your calendar for the problems that pop up. So if you book your calendar solid for 12 months, you can run into problems when you have something unusual that happens or a rapid change in a customer demand or some unforeseen issue that becomes exposed. And you want to be able to have some of those resources available to be flexible along the way. So what I tend to recommend people do is that they book about 80% of their capacity down the road and use that other 20% for the on-the-fly adjustments to the operation. And you need to have some capacity to be able to be flexible like that.
Absolutely. I've also used that flexibility to mentor black belts and green belts with their projects that may require, these are projects generally 4 to 9 months or 6 to 12 months in duration. These are larger scope projects and Kaizen events. And so you may have a lean belt or a black belt working these larger scoped projects that need mentoring along the way through the DMAIC process. And so I've used those times that you've mentioned in the schedule, the flexibility to mentor those other projects as well as popping in a new Kaizen if required. But you're right. You have to be flexible. It's like anything else.
Let's move on to your next point right now.
Yeah, point number five. This one's kind of funny. I call this one stand and deliver. This is where you, as a manager, a plant manager, a site manager, you're on the leadership team, write a weekly report, one page only, and only one page, of all the accomplishments you did that week. In other words, your successes and the goals that were met, and then you report this up to your chain of command. So if you reported to the general manager, the plant managers or the site leadership team, maybe there's 8 or 10 managers, and they reported to the general manager, they would all write a weekly report. One page only, and only on what they accomplished. Now, the reason I say this is I want to drive to accomplishment. I want to drive to target. I want to drive to goals. So this creates a mindset in the manager that time is important. We've been talking about time management, getting things done, adding value. And so what did we do today? What did we do this week? Did we stay on track, on target? And did we do what we said we were going to do this week? That's a hard report to write.
It is. You know, and when I do it, I use a little different spin on that same concept. Is I use the kind of the plumber analogy. And I say, let's assume that you're a plumber and you're hired to do the job that you're doing and you're paid hourly like that. Can you put that on a bill of what you accomplished and feel good about handing that bill to your boss and saying, this is what I think you should pay me for this week? You know, because if you're watching a plumber that you're paying whatever, you know, $100 an hour or whatever it is nowadays, and you're paying them the work, and if they're doing the same things that you do in the course of a day, would you feel good about paying them? You know, do you feel like you're delivering the level of expectation that you would put on somebody that you're hiring to do hourly work in your own home? It's a hard question. When I ask myself that, sometimes I think, you know, maybe I'm not making the best use of my time, and maybe it would be upsetting to me to see a contractor doing what I'm doing right now. It's a good self-assessment tool.
Yeah.
Like yours is, you know, the idea of having to go and assess, have I given what I would expect other people to give to me? That's a good
way
to...
Right. Did you earn your paycheck this week? Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly what you call it. Now, I have two other little points that go with this. We do a work review. We do a one-hour work review with your manager, whatever level you're at. If you're a production supervisor, it's up with the manufacturing manager. If you're the manufacturing manager, then it's up with the general manager. If you're the general manager, it's up with the vice president of manufacturing. So as you go up the chain of command, you have a one-hour work review. It can be 30 minutes. Starts with an hour, but again, if we manage effective meetings, you meet one half hour to 1 hour with your manager, work review. What did you do that week? You may email them the one page accomplishment, but in the 30-minute meeting face to face, that's where you talk about not only the accomplishment, but you focus on hurdles, countermeasures, and a look ahead for the next week. So what's coming up next week? Those kinds of things.
I used to do that.
Go ahead.
I used to do it and call it the one-on-one sessions, and I would do that. You know, for my direct reports, I would do it weekly. You know, you have the weekly session where you're making sure you're keeping in contact with people. And I think a big one of that goes back, you know, the whole stand and deliver thing is that there should never be a surprise about how somebody is doing in the organization. You know, nobody should ever be surprised by their evaluation. They should know all along. So, you know, I like to end each of the sessions at the end of it saying, if I graded you today, here's how I think you're doing. You know, and you give that feedback so people don't have any question about where they stand, what they need to do to improve, and, you know, what the general relationship is. And it's a very openness that I think, you know, scheduling and structuring this, like you're talking about, you know, you get that structured method process of leadership that really makes it easier to create the organization that you need.
To go with the flow, absolutely, you're right. And as part of, now this is one of your elements in your leader standard work, is to have the weekly meeting with your subordinate and to talk about what can I as an executive or as a manager do to knock down some of those hurdles for you so that you can accomplish your objectives and we together can accomplish these objectives that the corporation or the organization has laid out for us. So again, it's not so much what did we do and accomplish, it's what, how can we work together to make the gains that we need to make in a lean organization.
It always, you should always leave those meetings with the what's next step. You know, what do you have to do now? What's the next step that you have to do to keep the organization moving forward?
Oh, absolutely. And then the third little part of this, and this step, it seems small, but it's a little complicated. Then the third part in my approach is a quarterly review. These are generally off-site. They're held four times a year with a manufacturing facility, with the general manager and all his or her supporting staff. And for 19 minutes or so, 20 minutes, each manager stands and delivers, what did they do the last 3 months?
Yeah, I like that 19 minutes thing. That goes back to shorten the meeting times and schedule
right.
For some specifics.
That's right. Well, if you have eight to ten site managers running a facility, that'll fill a morning session. And so, in front of your peers, you stand and deliver.
One of my favorite quotes of all time, and I don't know if it's exactly a quote, but it's kind of like the legends that you get, is Mark Twain once said something like, "If I had more time, I'd have written a shorter story."
Right.
It's really hard to be concise. It's hard to get your point across quickly and clearly in a very short time. I think it's all this planning helps do that. You know, if you have 20 minutes to talk, you have to be very crisp and clear about what you're going to say and make sure that every word has value.
Oh, you bet. And 19 minutes is tough, and that allows for questions and answers too. So you really have a 15-minute presentation of what your department did to accomplish the organization's goals and objectives, and a few questions and answers, and then on to the next one and on to the next one. Now, in the afternoon session, we can talk about strategic planning and future projects. We can talk about black belt projects or continuous improvement initiatives or marketing approaches or growing the company, things like that. So that's usually handled in the afternoon session of one of these quarterly reviews. The general manager can talk about the state of the business and things like that. So in this approach, stand and deliver, it's a weekly report with as you said, a weekly session, what I call a work review, and then a quarterly review, and you roll those up into a 3 month presentation about the accomplishments that your department or your function has done to meet the objectives, and then it leads right into strategic planning and what the next 6 to 12 months looks like for growing the organization.
And that leads really well into step number 6 you have on this. You know, as you want to be able to grow and develop and improve your organization, it's not just the organization that has to develop. It's the individual. So the question is how do you develop people as an individual? And I think you addressed this really well in your last point.
Yeah. Step number 6 I call special time. And what we did, again, rolling this out, was nobody has time. No managers, no employees. You're running the factory is running to tech time, and the managers are just running to 40 to 60 hours a week. And so then you want to come in and say, yes, but we want to develop leaders. We want to develop lean leadership. How do we go about doing that? One of the ways, and the way we did it was a working lunch. We met with the 10 plant managers, the 10 site leaders, every other Tuesday during lunch. And it was a lunch and learn. And we looked at 1 hour every other week, and we looked at 3 issues. The first issue was lean management. and Driving a Lean Culture. And we had a textbook, Developing a Lean Culture by Mann, I think is who we used, Creating a Lean Culture by David Mann. That was our textbook that we used. And I know other lean practitioners have used that book, and it's sort of a very popular book. It's straightforward in how to drive a lean culture. And then we talked about later in the year, and this meeting goes on all year long, every other week for 1 hour a week, very casual, led by a lean facilitator. The second area that we talked about was change management. What is the change acceleration process? And how do we handle change as we roll out lean thinking? And the third major concept or area we talked about was project management. How do we handle and manage all these projects and all this change that's coming? The other weeks in between, we did the same thing with the supervisors, the supervisory level, with the production supervisors. And there were about 14 supervisors in this plant that I was working with. And that we focused on applying the lean tools, 5S, visual control, Kanban, flow, those kinds of things. So it was more application-oriented as we rolled out the initiatives and the Kaizens and the employee suggestions and things like that. The management team more on the lean management topics.
Seeing those two groups doing something similar but segregated, what did you find to be true about, like, the general demeanor, receptiveness, concerns of the different specific groups? Like, how do managers and supervisors differ in how they learn and what they need, or is there a difference?
Well, I found there was very little difference between the groups because the topics were the same. The only difference was the application. So that in the management class, when we talked about our session, it wasn't really a class. We didn't really call this training. We called it development. It was development sessions or these lunch and learns as we went. So we would talk about, in the management class, we would talk about things like visual control or flow or tack time or things like that. In the supervisory class, we would actually then talk about a work combination sheet or talk about line balancing or applying those tools on those concepts. So it was more same concept, different levels. And then they would talk during the week, they would talk with each other, the managers and the supervisors and things like that in other meetings besides just the meeting with myself or the lean practitioners on Tuesdays. So between the room that we set up, the visual control room, which reinforced what we talked about every Tuesday during the lunch and learns, for instance, we had, four sessions on 5S. So we're starting to roll out 5S in the factories, 5S and through the Kaizen events, 5S in the offices, 5S in the front office up front, and the executive suite. And so then you would see 5S red, yellow, green charts or another approach to 5S, other graphics that they would use for 5S. So everything, we tried to tie everything together as between the development sessions, as we learn to become and develop lean leaders, to the control room, to the factory, to the area boards and the factory and the layout of each manufacturing area.
That's really interesting. I think it's, you know, that planned, you know, all these themes, a lot of these points you made all have a central theme of, you know, understanding conditions and planning for development, you know, planning the future, having that predictability. Those are some of the key points in Lean. So I really like this list. It's got a lot of great insight in it. And I think in your article you wrote about this, you mentioned it's not a complete list. But I think if you do these things, you'll see a great increase in your personal performance, and then that translates into performance of the company improving. So I think with that, we'll wrap up right here. Thank you, Jay. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about all these different points with us. I think you mentioned in your article that this is not a complete list, but if you actually take these points and put these into your daily life, you'll find a great deal of personal improvement, and that really translates into organizational improvement as well. So I'm going to put a link on the page. You'll find a link for this article that Jay has on his website. So click the link to read the article in full. And once again, Jay, I'd just like to say thank you for your time and for your thoughts. I really appreciate it.
Well, anytime, and thank you again for having me. I do appreciate it, and these sessions are just a blast for me, Jeff. Nice talking to you again.
You too. And again, this is Jeff Hajek from the Gotta Go Lean blog podcast at www.velaction.com. And I'm talking to Jay Watson of freeleansite.com, freeleansite.com. Thanks for listening.